Our second scripture reading this morning is Paul's explanation as to why we Christians are so optimistic that when things seem to be their darkest, we are the ones that are looking for God's deliverance. We are the ones that are looking for the brightness in the darkness. Paul says this from Romans chapter 5. That therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So you see, at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. But for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I mentioned that I love that story from Genesis chapter 18. Sarah is in the tent. She's just got done cooking a meal for these visitors. And the visitors make this preposterous promise that this time next year, Sarah is going to have a baby. She laughed. To her, the prospect was ridiculous. The Lord responded that nothing is impossible with God. And Sarah denied that she laughed, but then the Lord let her know that he heard her laugh. And you know, in life, sometimes laughter is all you've got. You ever been to that place in your existence when, you know, like with Sarah, Sarah's laugh betrayed a sadness in her soul that she had lived with for all of her many, many years. She wanted to give birth to a child, and she never was able. And now she's elderly. She had lost all hope of ever being a mother. So it's understandable that she would laugh at such a prospect. And later, when the child was born, Sarah named the boy Isaac, meaning laughter. And I think Sarah is talking about that kind of laughter that's cleansing. That when you're just too beat up to cry, sometimes laughing is what you need. She named the boy Isaac, laughter, so she would never forget that God can and does do the impossible. I ask, have you ever been there when laughing was the only thing that you had? I remember my own experience as a pastor. I went through a period early as a young pastor. I'd only been a pastor for probably 4 or 5 years, and I began losing church members, and one by one, members who were leaders in the church, who were with the so-called pillars of the church in this particular church. I lost maybe 4 or 5 in 1 year. I came to find out later from a physician that there was a reason for that, that in that community there had been a central dairy farm that supplied the milk for all the families in the community, and there was a bacteria in that particular milk that acted like almost as a time bomb. If you ate that raw or drank that raw milk as a child, then it put up certain bacteria in your gut that eventually, when you became an adult, would turn into a cancer. And so I began losing these church members one after the other, and among them was a dear friend, Virginia. Virginia was one of those women who did everything. If you were sick, Virginia would be at your house with a casserole, and not just that, she'd offer to clean, and she'd offer her husband, Charlie, who was quiet, sort of reserved gentleman. She'd say, Charlie will take care of the chores around the house, too, if you like. She volunteered Charlie all the time. Well, I had buried Virginia because of this bacterial thing, and I was just, I buried four or five others before that, and these deaths were decimating that church of its leadership. And then finally, Charlie, Virginia's quiet husband, passed away, and it was kind of an exclamation point on my experience there. So I remember I went to do Charlie's funeral, and Charlie wasn't as known. He wasn't as well known as his wife because he was in the background. He supported her ministry and her caring for other people, but he was most likely an introvert. Charlie was quiet, and so he didn't make a whole lot of friends, and so consequently, when it came time for his funeral, we had very few people there. And I did the funeral, and I felt like I'd been wallowing in grief and sadness for months. And when I got home, Cynthia asked me, she said, well, how did the funeral go? And I said, well, not many people came. And she said, well, who was there? And I started, there was so-and-so, and then there was so-and-so. Not very many people. And I said, oh, yeah, and Charlie was there. And that hit our funny bone, and we couldn't cry, but we sure could laugh. We laughed until there were tears running down our faces because it was such a strange thing to say that Charlie was there. Of course Charlie was there. It was his funeral. But it broke that that heaviness that we carried, and sometimes we need that. I think that's what Sarah's laugh was all about. And it's why you notice that God didn't condemn her for laughing. He condemned her, or it said, Sarah, don't lie about it. You laughed. And I understand, Sarah, you're going to have that child in just a year. Laughter helps. But then after laughter, you need hope. I hope Sarah found some hope. I mean, somehow she did, because she ended up with Isaac at the end of the story. But before that, Sarah had lost all hope. And Paul wrote to a fledgling church in Rome that probably was on the verge of losing all hope as well. Remember that Paul was ministering in Rome at around the time of the great persecution of Christians there. Christians were being fed to lions in the arena. They were being burned at the stake. Parents were torn away from children and executed. So Paul says to this little fledgling church in Rome, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I've said repeatedly this morning that we Christians are the ones that when everyone else has given out hope, that we have hope. And where does it come from? Paul itemized it. He says, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, we have hope. We have hope because we realize that we stand in the grace of such a God who would send his only begotten Son to die for us. And then secondly, we have hope because this God loves us and helps us through times of tribulation. In fact, God helps us develop perseverance and proven character. And of course, that does result in hope that does not disappoint. I think that a lot of people in our nation, in our world, need that kind of hope right now. It's odd that they don't feel like they can turn to the church for that kind of hope. It's something perhaps we can study on how we can portray that and make people understand where our hope comes from and how they can lay hold of that same kind of hope. People without hope for a better future, without a hope for deliverance from their difficulties and afflictions, are prone to fall into depression. We know this. According to Healthline.com, before the COVID virus hit, 1 out of every 10 Americans became clinically depressed. 1 out of every 10 became depressed. And that number was growing at 20% per year. Now, this is before COVID, by the way. And we know that depression robs people of their will to go on. It robs people of their hope and their will to live. But something surprising happened during the COVID-19 pandemic. All of the experts were saying that, oh, this is going to increase the suicides in the United States because everybody has got to be so depressed about the disease. And, their possibility of losing family, or maybe losing family because of it. In the early stages, these experts were predicting increased suicides. In fact, they were preparing for a landslide. But it didn't happen. In fact, the suicide rate went down during the COVID-19 crisis. It actually dropped for these past 3 years. So what happened there? The experts were making these predictions. What happened? Now, many other experts in the faith field have noticed that while COVID brought a new stress, it also brought about a new feeling that we're in this together, a new feeling that we're not alone. One of the problems that caused this high rate of suicide is people feel like they're alone, there's nowhere to turn, and nobody cares anymore. But during the COVID crisis, it was told to us over and over again that people care, that government, even government, that cold, uncaring bureaucracy somehow was doing their best to help. There was hope that a vaccine would help stop the spread. Everyone began to have increased access to health care. Suddenly, the internet opened up, and the telephones were suddenly very instrumental in getting people in touch with medical care. People had the feeling that those in power and those in their community could have hope that there was a brighter future ahead, that we would get through this thing and come out better on the other side. They felt that someone cared, and so the suicide rate went down. Paul said that hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, since Pentecost, we've been celebrating the ministry of the Holy Spirit among us. And I think one of the things that we forget about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit helps us. It helps us to laugh when we need to laugh, when things have become so overpowering that we can't even cry. It's the Spirit that helps us burst out in laughter and break that hold of that terribly heavy feeling. In 1983, there was a lot of tension in our Presbyterian church. The Northern Church and the Southern Church joined together, and I'm not sure if either side really was in love with the other. It's just that it seemed like the right thing to do for the people in power at the time. And they came to acknowledge that, and they wrote this wonderful statement called the Statement of Faith. I like the final 28 lines of it that have to do with the ministry of the Holy Spirit among us. It says, "We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere, the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor. It binds us together." Take note that one of the reasons for the suicide numbers to go down was that we were bound together in a common purpose to defeat this illness. The Spirit binds us together with all believers in the one body of Christ, the church. And in a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing. That was our gospel message this morning, the one that the knock-knock jokes was all about. To pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture. And what does that mean? It means we cast aside, because of COVID, some of the things that we as a church have always held dear, like getting together. It was sacrosanct. Many churches ignored the government's rule that churches should not gather. They gathered anyway, and of course some of them suffered. The COVID did get passed from person to person, but we couldn't wait. Right when I first came here 2 years ago, we couldn't wait to get back together for in-person worship. We unmasked the idolatries, and we remembered that we want to get together with our beloved friends and neighbors and worship. The Spirit helps us to hear the voices of people long silenced and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks, to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." And so with believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love that statement. I love the power of the Holy Spirit that does help us during very stressful times and delivers us through the power of the love of God in Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory. Amen. Join me now in a moment of prayer. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that we have laughter in our lives that gives way to joy and hope. No matter how bad things can be, nothing can separate us from your love. And we carry that deep, deep in our hearts. Embrace us, bless us. Go with us each and every step of our way, whether we go to have an operation. Hold us in your hand and be with us. Whether we go about our usual business tomorrow or this week, hold us in your hand and be with us, we pray. Lord, we have great comfort in your presence and great hope in your love for us. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.